Today is a gift, a fresh opportunity to change your life with God's Word. A day to take responsibility and overcome challenges. A day to take on the world with a different mindset. Welcome to Firm Foundation.
Shalom, everyone. Please sit down. Thank you so much, Mama. God bless you. I call her my sunshine, and she literally is a sunshine for me. And I think for everyone she comes across, it, she literally lights up the room when she comes up. A huge percentage of who I am today is because of Pastor K, not because I'm telling stories. I started living with her when I was in JSS 2. And believe me, I left secondary school a long time ago. So everything about me, my marriage, my children, relationships, she's a part of everything. And I'm sure when I tell stories today, I probably will know, at least you will know. Because I remember one time when I was in a relationship that was very, very deadly. And I was the only person who didn't see that the relationship was deadly. She practically bundled me and locked me in the room. Took my phone and took everything. I said, anything that wants to happen, let it happen. Mama, thank you so much, because I probably would have been dead by now in that relationship. I don't know how many of you have been in a relationship that you know is bad, but you don't know it's bad. I mean, everybody knows. Deep down, you know that relationship is terrible. You know that relationship is leading nowhere. But something just tells you he loves me. You understand? Now, this he loves me so. I was the MD of the choir. I was a tongue-speaking person. But when it came to that part, I was dead. This person practically had my entire life. So Pastor K, and it's good to have a family. Mama and my family members practically bundled me and bundled me to the house and locked me. I said, this one, this relationship, you will not enter. Anything that wants to happen, let it happen. And I thank God for that, because when I see this person, I ask myself, now this present me, I ask myself, how are you so foolish to be following that? I don't understand you. Do you understand? And God will open our eyes in Jesus' name. Okay, so I think I'm here to just buttress the fact my senior colleagues have been speaking. You know, everybody, forget that thing that they say that I'm director, I'm just an omoshe. My senior colleague spoke yesterday, and like Pastor Ota said yesterday, when the boss of bosses has finished talking, what do you now want to say? You just come and tell story. Praise God. Okay, I'm a teacher, and I like to always use. So, Auntie Ruth, please, can I have your glasses? Is there somebody who uses glasses here? Or I'll need a volunteer, please. Fast. Anybody? Thank you. God bless you. Okay. Thank you so much. Ahem. Please, fine girl, pretty woman, please come. Don't look at her. This one has mighty children. Are children at university? Oh, yeah, okay. Are you okay? Oh, yeah, read. Please read this.
We were all originally created by God.
It's so easy for you to read.
It's not that easy.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, so... But you can read it with your own glasses, right? Perfectly. All right. Please, can I have that scarf you're wearing? Thank you. Thank you. Fast. You know they are timing me.
Let me not scatter your hair.
Okay. So please, can you see?
No.
No, I want you to see.
Can you see?
All right. Can you tell me where Efe is? You know Efe now?
Efe boy.
Efe boy.
No.
Can you tell me where he is?
No.
Ah, look well, nice. This side is church. What about Moses?
I can't see anyone.
You can't see Moses. All right. She doesn't fall. Okay, so you have seen her. Praise God. All right, now, you know why I use that? I would read it. Please put my slide. I would read that and I'll tell you. So we were all originally created by God to walk in a certain way. Now, but along the way, things happen to us that has created a bent. This bent makes us deviate from the original pattern and we begin to walk a different course. Now, when God created us, he said, before you were born, I knew you. So he knew you, that you were Rachel. He knew you, he created you, and he determined your course in life. That at this particular time, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. He knew your purpose, he knew everything. He had it all planned out because he knew you. But along life, now when God created you and you were born, there was something that he gave to you. He gave you a will of your own. Now, God does not force anything down your throat. Okay, now, along life, as we lived, walking, we were born into parents, maybe wonderful parents or not so wonderful parents or not so good parents. We were born into wealthy homes or not so wealthy homes or poor homes, but we were born. And along the way, different things happen to us. Maybe things that somebody hears and the person doesn't even see as a normal thing. Or maybe traumatic experiences. These different things happen to us along the way. And if we were supposed to be walking this way, when things happen to us, it creates a bent and sometimes we start walking this way. Now, this is the path, this is the way God has designed for us to walk. Or sometimes we are like that little boy who run, I don't know if that comedy is, you know, the little boy that was running a race and was holding a baton, and then at the end of the day, he turned this way and started running like this, and everybody was saying, hey, wait, not that way. Now, some of us are like that, unfortunately, because things have happened to us in life. Okay, please, back to my slide. Now, a fry pan cannot do the work of a pot, and even when it thinks it has made some kind of success in its eyes, it will never mark as success in the eyes of its designer. The designer made a fry pan to do the work of a fry pan. Now, even if you now say, okay, I need a pot and I don't have a pot, okay, the fry pan wants to do the work of a pot. Now, no matter how the fry pan says, oh, I am successful and I have done some kind of work, it still will not be success in the eyes of the designer, because that's not the way it was created to be. Now, we live true life. Some of us may live, we've been talking about inner healing and the things that inner healing is about. And then some of us say that, oh, I'm fine, I'm okay, I'm doing well in life. So I really don't need inner healing. I have had a lot of people say, ah, who wants to do the inner healing for me? Ah, no, nothing is wrong with me. I live true life. I'm successful right now. I'm married. I'm doing business. I'm succeeding at everything I'm doing. No, I'm not arguing with you. Beautiful. But sometimes, like Reverend Ben said yesterday, how do you define success? What's your idea of success? Are you successful in the eyes of the Creator? I might say today, oh, I've done well. I'm a successful counselor. I'm a successful. Now, the question is that the purpose of God for your life? Is that the kind of success that God does? God want you to be a counselor, or God wants you to be a footballer? You're a successful actress. Does God want you to be an actress? Or God just wanted you to be a nurse? Or probably God just wanted you to be a homemaker? Now, these are the things that we have indications to, but challenges in life sometimes take us away from them. Now, this bend sets us on a chase looking for a missing puzzle, whether we are aware there is a bend or not. My brother spoke yesterday, and then he said something. I just want to add a little bit to it. I was a daddy's girl. My father, it was that, to that extent that nobody had ever beaten me. You don't beat me. It was even so bad that I can remember very clearly, there was a time my mom punished me and told me to kneel down. No, it wasn't a big deal. But when I had my father's car, hey, I said, I cried. I see somebody had murdered me. Now, that's the kind of person, the kind of daddy's girl I was. You know, we could ask for anything. I could ask for anything. I like to believe that I was my father's, you know, when it came to myself and my elder brother, it was like there was a competition. You are for your mother and for my father. You know, and that made me, I was never really close to my mom. I was always for my dad. I won't take much of your time, but when my father died, actually, my brother said this yes, but you know when he said it, you would think that it was the next day that I heard that he told me that, they said daddy is dead. I actually heard him say that when they were looking at a newspaper. They had sent us to somebody's house. Nobody told me that, your father is dead though, and all of that. At least I didn't hear it from anybody's mouth. I actually saw it on the newspaper when they were saying it. Oh, this, the obituary of your father's death. Now, the thing that happened was that I actually felt nothing. And for a long time, I felt nothing. Now, not that if you beat me, I won't cry. Not that, yeah, a lot of things used to get to me. But growing older, I realized that I became two persons in one. Anytime you see me, even till now, you first hear me before you see me. I can't say that I will come here and keep quiet. Even if I promise myself, if I come to this place today, nobody will hear my voice. I will keep quiet. I'll be nice. I'll be gentle. No, you see somebody like Auntie Hanatu. No, very calm. Don't hear her voice. You understand? But me, you must hear my voice. I must portray myself. You understand? I always was like that. But inside of me, there was a person who desperately wanted to be on her own. I had a lot of friends. I had a lot of people, colleagues, that, and I would smile and laugh. I was always smiling. You know, this smile has always been there. I would smile and laugh. But honestly, you see that relationship I had with you? My best friends were the movies I watched. Were the series I used to watch. I don't watch films. I watch series because, you know, they had a long run. And those people were my friends. If somebody died in that series, I would mourn in real life. I could connect with them. Now, saying it now, it didn't. But then, it was that bad. I remember when someone in this church who was very close to us died then. I cried. But that was when I actually realized that I had a problem. I was crying, but the inside of me wasn't crying. You know, the inside of me was like, I'm going to do quick, I go watch my film so that I can be with my people. You know? I don't know how to explain it more, but I was two persons in one. And later on, I actually, you know, there's something you call split personality. They call it multi-personality. Multi-something personality syndrome, whatever. You know, and God helped me. A lot of people are in the hospital because of this kind of things. They said that they have three personalities, three things that are talking inside there, three human beings and all of that. I was actually two people. And I was living. And everybody was looking at me. I could be screaming. I'm not in touch with that screaming. I'm just screaming for screaming's sake. I could be talking to you, but I'm not in touch with that talking to you. Even I wasn't in touch with reality. The me then was like looking at everything that was happening from a fence. I didn't know what was happening. I couldn't connect. No, that's the word. I couldn't connect with anything. Let's go on. It says, this Ben says on a chase looking for a missing puzzle, whether we are aware there is a bent or not. Now, I loved my father very well, and I think he was the only person I could really relate to then. Not as if he was always at home, but I just enjoyed his love. The love, the attention he showered me, I enjoyed it. And from the day he died, the way the home became, my mom had to do a lot of jobs, you know. My mom was working in the bank, yes, but my dad was really the one, you know, you had everything, we're living large, living in GRA at that time, everything. So things started vanishing from the table. And then my mom really did not have enough time to care for us. When I say care, I mean that interaction. And so for me, at that little age, I felt she didn't care. And then I was very close to my brother, but he now went to boarding house. And then he wasn't there anymore. So it was like I was on my own. Now I'm 6 years older than the other one. And the girl and the boy were very close. And so I felt like I was on my own. I went to school. I did everything. But I was on my own. I now felt that I had to do a lot of things because those extra praises I used to get, those things, oh, you're looking, oh, my baby girl, my Ada, all of that, I wasn't hearing them anymore. And so I started, something inside of me started searching for those things, which got me into relationships that were always terrible. Now, my father left. My brother said something yesterday. My father left. And he said he was coming back. And he never came back. And I started getting into relationships that they would love me, in quotes, and then something will just happen. Something will just happen that, for no reason, nobody say we quarrel, nobody say, but they just leave. And I kept asking myself, what is happening? Why do people love and leave? Okay, please put my slide back. It determines now when this bent, this thing, remember I told you are walking a course, but challenges in life now cause a bend that take you to another course. Now it determines your perspective, your worldview, the way you see yourself, your circumstances, others, and ultimately the Godhead. Now what happened to me now made me feel like nobody really liked me. Nobody was really, they would all go and never come back. Or things were, so I became careful in my relationships. And without knowing, I started disconnecting. Now that was the beginning of me having two personalities. So I could be close to this person today, and I want to try and put together what really happened. So I'm going to read that again, please. It says, it determines your belief systems, which ultimately determines your experiences. Now, the first thing is that I had a mindset. I had a worldview. I had a thinking pattern that the people who truly love me will always leave for no reason and never come back. And that formed, first of all, it formed the way I saw Father God. From the way I saw the Godhead. I remember I was a church girl. I was never really a bad guy. I never went to club. I never went to, I never ever did any bad things like that. You understand? Because I was always under an authority figure from one place to the other. You know, I told you I met Pastor K at a young age. And you know Pastor K now? Ha. Nothing passes this Ohio. So a boy cannot just come outside from outside. You understand? You can't just wake up in the morning and say, I'm going out. You not carry your bag. I'm going out. You must define where you are going to. If you are going to market, 30 minutes. You have not still come back. Where are you? And then Pastor K got married and my father was another thing. Hey, you cannot wear red lipstick today. Oh. For those of us who were there that day, who gave you this lipstick? I'll say, Papa, lipstick again. He will say, no, let me know where the lipstick is coming from. You cannot wear a shoe. He will ask, why are you wearing Jennifer's shoe? This is how Oju Kokoro comes, so don't wear Jennifer's shoe. Or you wear a shoe, Papa, it's my shoe. Who gave you the shoe? No, I know I didn't buy this shoe for you. Who gave you? And then you now tell him, okay, it's this person that gave me. He wants to know whether it's that person that gave you the shoe. And believe me, we ask the person, are you the one who gave and willed this shoe? So I wasn't angry or anything. I wasn't ever rebellious. So these were the things that curtailed me from really being a bad girl. So when people are going to a club, in fact, then in the house, maybe the girls in the house, they want to go somewhere. No, in as much as my mother was a very strict person, she was also a chemo, you understand? She knows how to understand things. So if you now tell her, Mama, we are going out, she will help you to plan it. This one will say, I'm going to market. Okay, bye-bye. Go and buy something for me in the market. This one will say, my mommy sent me a message. Okay, go and buy. My sister will say, I'm going to school. I was the only person who didn't have anything. She will not say, don't worry. Yeah? When they come back, they will give us gist. Anyway. So because I wasn't in school as at that time, or even when I got into BIU. BIU was go and come back. So I didn't have anywhere I was really going to. When I was really dating my husband, he was dating me from the house. Don't go and see him in his house. So I was just saying that to say there was really no chance for me to be a bad girl. But really, in my heart, I was a bad girl. So I was living two different lives. Now, this formed my belief system that everybody who loved me would leave. And because of that, please my slide. And because of that, I started having these experiences because they formed my belief. So anybody I felt that really, really, really loved me, I just realized that, the father figures. I remember I was in a relationship, a beautiful relationship, and all of a sudden the person just stopped talking to me. For no reason. I called and called, nothing. And then the person called like 2 years later after he got married. In fact, I heard he got married and all of that. I'm just giving you an example. And I heard after 2 years, and then he started calling me out of the blue when he was married and said, he didn't know what happened and all of that. And he still loved me. But anyway, that's old story, old gist. His loss. Okay. Now, what I'm trying to say is why inner healing is very important. Because after taking this course, after working another course, I had a mindset. I had a worldview, the way I started seeing things, the way I started seeing people, and the way I started seeing God the Father. I was someone who was beautiful in the choir. I was the MD of the choir and I would sing and things would happen. But I had a challenge with connecting with Father God. I had a serious challenge, in fact, with the Godhead. And then I got married, still a church girl. And I knew my husband loved me, but we had a serious challenge. I just could not connect. Now, let me tell you one of the ways that I couldn't connect. I taught love languages, but I didn't know what my love language was. It became a challenge. Is it that I liked touch? Maybe today I will like this one. Tomorrow I will not like quality, thank you, to be near me. The same me that likes you to be near me, I will pursue you tomorrow. You are just irritating me. It was an issue for me because I now had split personality. I didn't know which was which. And it affected me so much because, remember, because of the things that happened to me, I started holding back. To me, I was holding back so that I wouldn't be heartbroken. But I didn't realize that it became so bad that I was holding back from everybody and everything without even acknowledging it, without even knowing it. So when I got married, I'm just trying to pick a few things. When I got married, it was so bad that it even affected our sex life. Now, I was the teacher in love and life, and my basic course was sex kitchen. And I will teach people about sex and teach people about everything. And they will come back and say, oh, thank you very much. But it couldn't work in my life. These were just principles. Maybe my husband is not at home. There are no children here. And then I feel horny and I feel all of that. And I feel, oh, okay, when he comes back today, I'll wear a short knicker. But immediately I see my husband. I go just pull that knicker. In fact, it's me by myself that I'll be looking for how we will fight. So that he will not tell me, sister, what's up? Because that headache is a, what is it called? And then he will tell me, what is the matter? What is happening? And then I started asking myself, but really, what is happening? Until I encountered inner healing. The truth of it is that no matter how okay you think you are, until you encounter the love of the Father, you do not understand the extent of the damage that has happened to you. So you see, you are walking, you are looking nice. Like Mama said, it's not about you being. No, I was actually molested when I was young, about 3 years. But that really did not affect me. Because I realized, you know, in inner healing, we ask you what the root issue is. I discovered that really didn't affect me. Why? I don't know. But the truth of it is that I was searching for something. Inner healing, let's go on, please. On next slide. Okay, let's go forward. Take the scripture later. Now, the purpose of inner healing, Mama has talked about what inner healing is all about, and I just want to bring it out a little bit. The first one, for me, this is my experience with inner healing. The first one is to make us aware. When I was living all that way, having two personalities and not knowing that I had two personalities, when I would laugh with you, play with you, but inside me, you see, I can be in this hall now. We're all gisting and playing. But I desperately want to go home, me and my tab or my laptop or my phone with movies. That was my life. I wasn't aware something was wrong with me. I couldn't connect to you. I can do follow-up, I can do that. But you know when you are connected to someone you know? There's that connection. I didn't have an issue. I've never really been admitted in any hospital. I want us to say that. I've never had an accident that you say, accident. The things that cause trauma, I never really had it. I was with Mama and Papa, and I had the best of when Mama loves you, Mama loves you. But all those love that they gave to me, there was never a heart-to-heart connection. So, the second one is that so we can exchange lies for the truth of God's words. Now, one lie I believed was that the people I love will always go away for no reason. So I built up a wall so that when they go, I no go feel anything. And then another lie I realized that I had recently is the lie that Father God really did not care. Now, I didn't know I had that lie. Until one day, things were happening. People were giving testimonies. And then I said, but really, Do you know that nothing has ever happened to me? You know, I began to equate the fact that I lived a good life, as in I lived a life where it's not as if I was a prostitute and God called me back. It's not as if I had one accident and God saved me from the accident. It's not as if armed robbers came to my house. I equated it, and I didn't know I was holding back. So really, really, I never used to ask God for anything. I never used to ask him for a car. I didn't ask God. My prayer, if I'm praying, my prayer points were either about others. There was no personal prayer point. So anytime they tell us in church, write a prayer point, I will be looking at my book. What will I write now? I never had anything to write. So I never had anything to go back to. And when they say, give a Thanksgiving list, I'll tell myself, I really don't have any Thanksgiving list. People will give testimony. I'll tell myself, I really don't have any testimony. Until one day it hits me. You know, I say this, usually, God always talks to me a lot when I'm washing plates. I love to wash plates. When I'm washing plates. And one day, I heard this. He said, to whom much is given, much is expected. And I said, you see, Anna, because you love this person, you did this for this person, you did this for this person. And then he told me, really. He said, I remember about 18 years ago, I went to meet Pastor Ke, and I said, Mama, my life is not really interesting. No, things don't really happen to me. Great things don't happen to me. Mama told me, she said, some of you are like, you say, in the eyes of God, some people are like eggs that need to be carried gently because of the destiny that they have. To me, it didn't make any sense. What was she saying? But then, that day, God reminded me of that. He said, I have carried you like an egg all this while, and you tell me I have done nothing for you. Okay, Ina says, so you want to be in an armed robbery attack before you know that I can save you. You want to be in this. You want to. And I realized that the things I am not seeing, just because the physical thing did not happen, I just believe that God really didn't care about me. Now, I was living my life with those lies. That Father God really didn't care. And because I thought that, I just felt, I didn't ask for anything. I didn't expect anything. I don't expect anything big. If you tell me now today that you will give me something, in my mind I'll say, now, so you'll soon forget. No need. And really, really, you will forget. I was actually experiencing my beliefs. Somebody will tell me, oh, Aunt Willie, I'll do your Christmas shopping for you. Don't worry. Christmas will come and go. The person won't even say anything. And it got to a point, I stopped caring. My husband will tell me, Aunt Willie, I will give you this. Don't worry. Is this? He won't give me. And I trained myself. I know they ask. I better not be beggar. So that was what it was for me. Until the day that it clicked. And I told Father God, I am so sorry. Now, there were lies I was believing. With inner healing, you become aware and begin to open your eyes to see the lies that the enemy, you know what the enemy wants to do to you? He wants, now that you are a Christian, fine, be a Christian, it's okay. But what he wants to stop you from having is having a relationship with the Father. What God wants from us, now, in inner healing, God wants to bring us back to the original design that he made us. He made you in a certain way. But the enemy knows that when you enter that certain way, you will enter a relationship with the Father. Sometimes we think we know that we are Christians. We have given our lives to Christ. So the enemy makes us believe that that is all. You have given your life to Christ, you have given your life to Christ. But we discover that there are little foxes that spoil the batch. But he doesn't want you to feel that anything is wrong with it. So, you are a Christian, but gossip is your occupation. You are a Christian, but you see, there's nothing wrong with sleeping with a guy that you love or sleeping with a girl that you love. There's nothing wrong with you just taking the extra 2,000 naira. It's normal. You take it and there's nothing that pinches you. Now, today they said, press a reset button. I want you to look at yourself. If you have given your life to Christ and there is something you do that doesn't bother you, You keep malice. In your mind, you justify it. You tell yourself that, no, I beg. It's because he annoyed me. He annoyed you. You don't want to talk to him again. Whether you like it or not, it's keeping malice. But we Christianize everything. Now, if you have those little foxes in your life and you don't see anything wrong with it, then there is a challenge. You are not aware. The enemy has made you believe lies. Then you now tell yourself, okay, there is nothing actually in my life that I'm doing bad. I'm not doing anything wrong. But how's your relationship with God? Is it easy for you? See, there is a challenge if you don't hear God talking to you. There is a challenge. Mama taught us, God is not an invincible being. That's the purpose of all this God's secret weapon. That's what she has been. We are encamping around God. You need to feel him. Moses felt him. See, you can sit with God and start telling him, ah, this one that you did. No, God, I'm not just happy today. I'm not happy at all. But like Mama said, before you do that, make sure you have a relationship with him. If you are a Christian and you still believe that God, hey, this sin that I committed today, you think about it, because we are not perfect. Maybe you fall or you have an issue or you told a lie. If it's very difficult for you to go back and tell him you are sorry, you have a challenge. So the enemy makes you believe these lies and you see these lies as your life, as truth. That's why I gave her a glasses. Now with her glasses, she can read perfectly. It's her perfect lens. But I gave her somebody else's lenses. How many of us are living our lives through the lenses of other people? Through the opinion, the lens you are using, is that the lens that God has given to you? Is that what you are walking through life with? Then some of us, we pick up crutches. God has made you to walk with your two legs, but you have decided to pick up a crutch. Now, what am I trying to say? There are things that we decide because some of us now become aware that, oh, there's something missing. Now, instead of seeking the ultimate Father, who is the only one who can fill that thing up, we start picking up other things to fill. We pick up women. We even pick things like gambling. We pick up gambling. Anything that makes you excited. Anything that makes you fill in a void that is not God is a crutch. Anything at all. Whether it be drink, whether it be sex, whether it be lies, whatever it is at all. Some of us, we like to shop. You know, when you shop, you feel fine. But the truth of it is that it's just a little time. And the devil is giving you like this, small. Today you take 10. Tomorrow, you shop with 10,000. Tomorrow, you will shop with 100,000. But unfortunately, it's only short. So you have to go back. And before you know what is happening, you are already a slave. That's what the enemy wants to do. But Father God wants to bring you to your original design. Please, let's quickly take that so that the next slide, please. The next slide. Inner healing is not magic. So some of us say, I don't do inner healing, I beg, not the work. I don't go. Now, Mama, now do the inner healing for me. Pastor K, do one by himself. I still have this issue. Inner healing is not a fairy tale where one fairy godmother takes a wand and hits your head like Cinderella, and then you now marry the prince and you live life happily ever after. No, it's not that. You know why? Because God has made you a responsible person. Inner healing is like peeling the onion. For instance, let's take me. I lived that life of having a dual personality for more than 20 years. I don't expect that one session with a practitioner or a prayer minister will change my entire life. Yes, it opens my eyes to the things and shows me the truth and shows me how to walk. But I also have a responsibility. And the thing about God is he doesn't barrage you with everything at once. Because at every point in time, You have had wounds from different places. You have had father wounds. You have had mother wounds. You have had sibling wounds. You have had wounds from friends. You have had wounds from circumstances. Like Pastor Ota said, you cannot be in this Nigeria and not have a wound or something. You can have wound. You go to ATM. Somebody will, like my sister was telling me the other day, she went to the ATM and stood, and there was an empty space here. They were in their own line, though. And then somebody left that line, and she just decided, let me go to that line. And then the man said, no, it's not your turn. And she looked at the man, I don't understand. You're on your own queue. I just, he said, no, as far as that ATM has started working, go. It's either this man in front or me first. She now said, she kept him quiet. And the man said, if you go to that place, I will slap you. And she now said, oh God, you can't slap me. She left. The man left the ATM, but he did not collect money again. He followed her out. You this small girl, come here, I will slap you. Now, she could just have been wounded from that guy. You see, the man has his own wound. So wounded people wound others. So every day we meet people who are wounded. We are wounded by our leaders. We wound other people. Other people wound us. So it's just a vicious circle. So God does not want to bring everything once. So every day he shows you a picture and says, okay, you need to be healed here. So that we are not overwhelmed. So inner healing, that's why we say inner healing is like an onion. Every layer is peeled. Each time a layer is removed, as we keep encountering the Father's love. So now that you are done here today, tomorrow you go to worship and then you just say, Father, it's me. It's just me. It's just two of us. I'll put you in front. I'll do everything. In that place, you encounter the Father again, and he washes you and removes another layer. But it has to be a responsibility. Apostle Paul put it this way. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through which Jesus Christ is calling us. So there is no, I am a senior, matured person, so I will not keep going for more. Whether you are a pastor, a bishop, whether you have been born again for 20 years, whether you tell yourself there is just something more. There is more that you can go for. More encounters, more love with him. I hope we all know that the fact that you can prophesy or you can do some things does not mean that you are matured in the spirit. Every time we keep equating that and we forget that. I'm trying to rush because I know that Pastor K has done this. Now, in inner healing, the most important factor is you. Please say that with me. The most important factor is me. You know why I said that? Because you have the responsibility. I like to use this illustration all the time. If you are drowning and you are shouting, help me, help me. If you don't put your hands up, no one can really help you. So if you know you have a challenge, you need to seek for help. One. And then you need to take the responsibility of ensuring that the help that is given to you, you take it and you work it out. The Bible says, work out your salvation. You need to be responsible enough to read the scriptures. Responsible enough. You cannot say, oh, I did deliverance today, but in the next month, I realize that I'm even worse off than I was. See, for that church, they're not even sabi do deliverance. Not mind them. They'll just talk, say they're doing nothing. No. Because when I go there, now I verse. But now, I just scatter. So I was. The truth of it is, now what does scripture tell us? He said, when a demon leaves, he will now go around. Then he will now come back to check if this place I left is still vacant. And when he realizes it's vacant, he will not come alone. No. He will go back and say, hey, brother, sister, mona, come. This place is now vacant. But you know, these scriptures are scriptures that we all can quote, but we don't relate it to our life. Because if we do relate it to ourselves, we will pursue God. Not pursue him with a motive of, oh, I want to pursue him with a motive of, I love you. A motive of that, I love him so much. Now let's take, I want us to see the last scripture. Just the last scripture before we conclude. He says, okay, we all know God loves us very much. The last one, God loves us very much, and he wants each and every one of us to be whole. He wants each and every one of us to experience the complete package of the freedom that he has given to you. God will not send his son to die on the cross for you and me so that you just become a Christian and you are still having the hardships, the issues of lust, the issues of fear, the issues of anger that you are experiencing. No, he wants you to experience total freedom. All right. The last scripture is saying, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Let me take the last one from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 29:18 says, I am making this covenant with you so that no one among you, no man, woman, clan, or tribe will turn away from the Lord our God to worship these gods of other nations, and so that no root among you bears bitter and poisonous fruit. Those who hear the warnings of this curse should not congratulate themselves thinking, I am safe, even though I am following the desires of my own stubborn heart. This would later end in ruin, lead to utter ruin. So what I'm trying to tell us today is, we can no longer walk with kid gloves. We can no longer take things for granted. When there is an issue, work it out. That's the reason why you are aware. Right now, you have come to the door of inner healing. You are now aware that I have this challenge, so I will work it out. You can no longer keep malice like it's a normal thing. You can no longer gossip like it's a normal thing. There must be something inside that's ringing a bell and telling you, this gossip is wrong, this thing you just did now. And once your conscience tells you this thing is wrong, no matter where you are, quickly drop it and tell God you are sorry. And then look for, if it is something, somebody you did something to, apologize. Or if someone does something to you, now in Inali, we always say something. Take a bag, when you are leaving the house in the morning, especially in this Nigeria, collect a bag of forgiveness. So that as you are going, somebody just does something to you, just open the bag and quickly dash the person. I'm not saying you tell the person, I dash you forgiveness. That's how they say, I should dash you forgiveness. But in your heart, consciously, you know why we allow bitterness to enter into us and grudge? It's because we live it. We bet with it. You know, somebody matches me this morning. Instead of me to just say, oh God, and maybe the person insulted me, I say, ah, until you match me, you say who you be, I bet they go. Now, instead of now sitting down and say, who I be? This woman just tell me who I be. Instead of relieving it, quickly, forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice. It's not that I feel like forgiving this person. No, it's a choice. And then you tell yourself, I choose to forgive this person for this. So that's my closing remark. Brothers and sisters, we all need freedom. Freedom is sweet. Freedom is beautiful. But I also need you to understand that as long as you are on this earth, the work of the enemy is to take you down with him. So when you receive healing today in this particular part of your life, I want you to be conscious so that tomorrow when the devil comes from this side, you also know what to do. Healing is a continuous process. And when we get it each day, we become more alive. You heard what they said yesterday. When we are all healed, Nigeria is a better place. Our leaders do what they do because they are damaged. The person, so like Mama would say, give everybody a benefit of a stupid doubt. Let the person be doing his own, but you make sure that you are healed. I said it again, you are the most important factor. You are the most important factor in inner healing. when you get healed, you just might influence the person beside you to also be healed. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. To get a copy of this message and other life-transforming messages, please visit our shop at www.ffi.ng/shop or call 0706-969-6499. God bless you.